Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon to you. Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's stevejonesshow.com. And Sean Carey here. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. You miss any of the live shows on WKOK, subscribe. Get them sent straight to your mobile device, whether it's Google Play or iTunes, the Apple Podcast app. SteveJonesShow.com has a podcast page there as well. 3 months' worth of episodes there at your disposal anytime you'd like. All right. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. You can drop us a line, stevejones@wkok.com. And our toll-free is 1-800-795-9565. With you live till 5. And after that, Chris Elio at the anchor desk this afternoon for our late afternoon, late-day news roundup. About the snow across the central Susquehanna Valley today. Wow. There's some in the AccuWeather forecast, but some locations it's... sticking.
Oh, it is snowing here, my man.
It is snowing, too. And actually, our chief engineer extraordinaire, Harry Bingaman, was...
How's Harry?
Harry's doing great. He was up on Treberton Mountain today. That's where the 94.1 WQKX transmitter is located. A couple of inches of snow up there today.
Billion-watt boomer.
Mm-hmm. So, good call by you last night getting the... lights
they
out
are,
on the shrubbery out in front of the Jones Castle.
Done.
Wonderful.
They are done, and I can tell you that nothing's being turned on. I just so people know, nothing's being turned on.
You just found the right moment just to get them installed and ready to go.
I'm like a big deep breath. All right, go ahead, do it. Right. And then I thought at one point, okay, well, we'll get this part done, and then tomorrow morning before I go to work, I'll do the deck. And you know me. Of course, what did I do? All right, let's just get the deck done now. Now I'm watching it snow and I'm walking, driving down the street. You know, Mr., well, I got it done. I got it done. I'll tell you right now when it's really going to kick in, what's really going to kick in is Friday. Friday when it's like 30 degrees, I'm going to look out and go, yep, I don't have to go out there and freeze.
That's going to be a little frosty for everybody that's going to be heading to Sunbury Friday night for what should be a humdinger of a high school football game between Sewells Grove and Shikellamy for the District 4 Quad A Championship. Could be the first time Shikellamy could win a district title on their home turf.
I know. I guess what you went by the record studio, and I guess there was somebody in there practicing.
Yesterday, yes.
The end of the game?
Oh, the end of the game. You'll appreciate this, though. Last person out of the building last night, this is true. Right hand up. Last person out of the building last night, okay, and this is not the night before the football game, okay? Suit locked the building up last night. Still here when I left last night. Working on game prep. So good for you. I think it's awesome.
Hey, two words for that. About time.
I thought he was working on the full-time job last night, pushing, you know, six, a little after six, but no, he was doing game prep.
This. No offense, but this should be a really easy game for him to do. He's already done it once this year.
That's right.
I've never done a do-over in football. I never have. Every once in a while it happens. Remember, like Florida State, they played each other in the Sugar Bowl one year, and they'd already played. You know, LSU, Alabama, the championship game already played. So it does happen in college football once in a while. I can tell you in college basketball. Now, one year in college basketball, true. Penn State made it to the NIT championship game in 1998, and they played Minnesota. It was the fifth time that year I saw Minnesota in person. Like, okay. Hey, if you don't have it by now, you don't have it.
Yeah, you can actually say, I saw what I saw.
No, I reserved that for the professionals. And in fact, we could play right now. Do you see what I see?
We could.
And have everybody have a little holiday feel as we do it, as a matter of fact. Yeah. My goodness. Okay. Snow coming down. They revised the forecast here. Now a half to an inch of snow. Like, okay. But, you know, to be honest, Pat, it's not really doing anything. I mean, it's snowing, but no, it's not, you know, the roads are too warm, whatever. If this were to happen a week from now, then we would have a little bit of a problem because it's supposed to get down to, what, 16, 17, and then down to 20, 21. It's going to be down in that range for three or four nights. That's going to make the ground cold. Well, the ground isn't really that cold right now for it to stick. And, of course, you know, they want to get the snow out of the way before the Shikellamy Sealands Grove Titanic Showdown, which, by the way, you can hear in Eagle 107 as well. I'm sure Ryan Brandt, my understanding is that Pat O'Brien locks up late every night during the season.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we will have Bucknell basketball Friday night on Eagle 107.
94?
Yes, we will be moving the Sealands Grove call over to 94KX on Friday night.
Very nice.
Yes, Doug will be on Friday night on Eagle 107 with Bucknell and Monmouth.
Monmouth, yes.
That's an 8:30 tip.
Yeah, they changed the forecast here. It now says up to an inch of snow.
If the Hammer will be with us right now on the radio, he would call the weather conditions iffy.
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 Yes. Yeah, he looked at me with, like, you're talking weather. I looked at him earlier and said, what do you want me to talk about? I said, we're in this situation because of weather. You know, the difference is I can see the big smile on his face as he says it. Hey, Neil Coulong today. We'll talk about your Steelers.
That was a quiet bye week. I was happy about that.
And not only that, Martavis Bryant is now back in the good graces. He's going to be a part of the lineup and what's going on. Juju Smith-Schuster went out and got his driver's license, so that's good. So we're going to have Neil on the show today to talk about that. Andrew Callahan coming up. So we got a lot to talk about on the show. Yeah. And then Lee Stout and Harry West, they wrote the book Lair of the Lion. We're going to have them a part of the mix here pretty soon. We've got them lined up to be on the show. All right, Brian Elysberg, how are you today, Brian? It's always great to hear from you.
Yes, sir, buddy. I know it's been a tough 2 weeks for us, but it'll be a great day on Saturday. I'll be there and say hi to you, and I can't wait for Saturday. And it'll be my first Rutgers game since 1994, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah.
That'd be great to have you there.
Yep. Yeah, I was there when Terry Collins and the whole crew beat Rutgers. I remember the score very much, 55-14 that day. Every time they scored, and
Brian, they beat every team that year, 55-14.
That's right. And even when I lived in New Jersey, I saw them play, and Dozier as a freshman ran all over them and everything. Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. So I can't wait. So and hey, it'll be a nice cold day, and it'll be a great day to win. So okay, buddy.
Sounds fun. We look forward to seeing you and having you there, Brian.
That's right. Thank God it won't be raining because I was there the first game this year, but it was too wet to come see you.
There you go. No problem.
Okay, Steve. See you then.
Thank you, Brian. Always a pleasure. Thank you. 800-795-9565 is the number. And, yeah, there'll be no snow or rain on Saturday. And the suit was doing game prep. He's doing game prep for a game he's already prepped for this year, isn't it? I mean, how much of me? How different are the charts now? Would he make three changes? Well, I can't wait. Well, when are we having him on? Thursday?
Sure.
I mean, is he going to do it, or?
At this point, I think he would. I haven't heard anything different from him.
No, we could get Dick Ward on.
Sure we could.
Change it up. Yeah, so, yeah. Well, people in the area must be pretty excited about that. Have a backyard matchup like that where it has a lot of meaning to it.
Well, it's all on the table for Shikellamy, for sure. I mean, they've got the pieces in place to take this thing and then roll into states with house money and see how far they can go. They've got the speedster in Joey Folk. They've got some physicality on the line. They've got a great Swiss Army knife in Gabe Tilford. Gabe's brother Lucas. If you want a down the field threat, you have him in the mix. So they've got a lot of pieces in place where they can create some fits.
Well, there you go. And that'll be at 7 o'clock, right?
7 o'clock kick, 6:30 air here on WKOK.
Right after Penn State basketball.
And also there will be a replay of the game. SECV8 is going to be there as well. Matt Catrillo is going to do play-by-play. So cameras will be rolling on Friday nights, and you can check out their website for the games.
Yeah, just so you know, the basketball game is at 4 o'clock. So.
A nice little Penn State basketball appetizer with Campbell to get her going Friday afternoon with you and DJ at 3:30 on Friday afternoon. Looking forward to that, too.
3:30, 4 o'clock tip. We should be off the air by 6:30. But, I may just deliberately just go until 6:45, see what the suit does.
I meant to ask you on yesterday's show in regards to the game with Bloom on Sunday as to how they looked.
Good. I mean, they did the expected. Bloomsburg's got a nice, they've got a nice team. I like the job he's doing as a coach. I think they run a good system. I think they play hard. They hustle. Penn State did the expected, built up a 31-point lead with about 11 minutes to go in the game. And then, they start playing some combinations, which if they're playing during the course of the season, I'm looking around looking at Dick saying, let's go to the car. And Bloom, because they are a team that is that fights hard and plays hard, they cut it back down. I think they got it down to 14 at one point, real late. And Penn State won by 17. I mean, Carr played well, 7 assists, no turnovers. He had 23 against Lafayette the day before. The other part, too, was a back-to-back for Penn State, which Pat told me he wanted to do deliberately because they're going to have to play back-to-back in Brooklyn. For one thing, let's start there. And then, of course, when you get to the Big Ten tournament, you have to play back-to-back. So he deliberately wanted to play back-to-back because he wanted to see how they react. And for the most part, they reacted pretty well. I thought Bostic played well. Reeves played well. Stevens played better against Bloomsburg than he did against Lafayette. And John Herrer is going to be a good player. He is going to be a good player. Good screener. Good rebounder. He's going to help them. That was the overview from what I saw. It's about what I told Dick. I may have told Dick a couple of extra things beyond that, but that's Sometimes you keep a couple things in house. So, yeah. But that'll be out. That'll be good. You know, so I'll talk to Dick and maybe we can get the post game show to go to maybe 6:50 or so. What do you think?
Yeah, usually Kevin's interview with Todd goes about 4 or 5 minutes. Get everything before kickoff. Yeah. Then jump right into the kickoff. Bing, bang, boom.
How much does Todd talk? I mean, the setup of the question sometimes is longer than the answer. So he was the last person. Okay, now tomorrow's the big test. Tomorrow's the big test. Does he show up at Maddie's tomorrow? Because he's got play-by-play of Friday, and he's got back-to-back play-by-plays.
He does. Big weekend.
Yeah. I mean, he's got back-to-back play-by-play, so maybe that's what he was working on last night. Yeah, because he's got two games.
I think he was working on Braves prep. He was doing the one game at a time mentality. So,
yeah, but this is one you've got to do.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you have to do because I've got basketball on Friday and I've got football on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, I've already got both games done. You can't sit there and do a, hey, you know, we're just going to do one game at a time, and then Friday night with the basketball game, so we're like, okay, now what does Rutgers have? Okay, this isn't helping here. Okay, hold on. We may have to amend that policy of one game at a time, because right now I'm so far behind, I think I'm first. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Plenty to talk about today. And the Chief is on the line. How is the Chief doing today? You're out there battling the snow.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, it's not that bad. It's just all we're doing is watching the snow melt on my car. That's all. So.
Well, I'll tell you, history-wise, it's a big week for Shikellamy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen a team that the Braves have. They're a special bunch of kids. And they're 9-2, and a lot of people didn't expect them to be at this point. And they weren't that far away from maybe being undefeated, but they just I've been on the sidelines for most of the games, and the Jersey Shore game when they came back from being down 21-7, and the Loyal Sox game was just unbelievable. It reminds me of a lot of times when a lot of people leave a game thinking that it's all over. Well, it wasn't over. It was because of those kids' attitudes. They don't quit.
No, they don't. I mean, and it's an exciting time for them. So, what did you want to touch on? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Steve. I cut you off.
Oh, no, I said, what did you want to touch on today?
I just hope that everybody can come out and support both teams. This is going to be one of this has to be since I think 2009 or 2010 one of the biggest games played between our two communities, and you got brother-in-laws coaching each other's team, and a lot of these kids know each other from all the other sports, and I'm sure Seals Grove's looking to get a little bit of revenge after losing the regular season game, but you know, Shikellamy's not going to fall. if they have anything to say with it, they'll walk away with that district championship. So I think we'll have the atmosphere we might have had back. And I hate to go back in the 60s or the 70s or even the early 80s, but it hasn't been like this in such a long time. People in the community talking about both teams. I've played on a Shikellamy team that was 9-1. 8-1-1 and 5-5, and I'm going to tell you right now that 9-1 team and that 8-1-1 team were a lot more fun to play on than 5-5.
And you got that right.
Yeah, and it's really exciting. I think I told Todd one time I've played with some players that might be better, but I don't think I played with players that have more heart than these kids do. Just amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun that you get two schools so close together. They had a rivalry already to now play a really high-stakes game. I think that part's a lot of fun.
Well, it reminds me a lot of the old Shikellamy-Mount Carmel games when that was the last game of the season, and it always boiled down to who was going to be the Southern Division leader and win the Southern Division of the Eastern Conference, and that's the atmosphere that I can feel with it right now. Listen, I'm 63 years old, and this is the most excited I've been, all right, for a game to come around in a long, long time. And I did Lewisburg all the way up to the state quarterfinals when Todd was coach up there. That was exciting, but this means a little bit more to me because this is my alma mater.
Right, this is your school. No.
Yep.
That's what makes it special. And Friday night's going to be really special. Bundle up, though, all right?
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be cold. This will be the first game, I think, where I think the kids are going to experience a little bit of numbness in the air. So it'll be cold.
Yep. Yes, they will.
Yep.
Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Steve. And have a good call on Saturday, as I know you will. All right?
I appreciate it. Thanks so much,
Dave. All right. Bye-bye now.
You know, it's a game like this, Sean, and I get your opinion on this, where it's one of those games coming up on Friday night where you really miss Mike Ferlazzo.
As for me, who hasn't gone to either Shikellamy or Seals Grove, neither one, my alma mater, you just look at this, you just look at outside looking in as a fan. Mm-hmm. You're looking for just I call it a five-star matchup. And you look for five-star matchups during the regular season. Well, I mean, this is a pure five-star matchup right here.
Yeah. All right, now the Steelers are going to be back in action with the Colts this weekend. Yes, I take the suits seriously. We just have a little bit of fun. And I always take Neil Kulak seriously.
I'm surprised that you do take me seriously, but I'm doing very well today. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Neil. Thanks. Bye weeks, we talked about, everybody gets sore this time of the year. So your sense, I mean, my Tomlin wouldn't give it away in a million years, but is your sense that the bye week worked out just fine for this team?
It's probably the one week we haven't seen any drama yet. That kind of surprised me. I figured, the pace that they were on, they had a couple things coming up. But quiet. We didn't hear anything, and it kind of seems to be business as usual back there now and getting ready for the second half of the season for a team that usually does really well when the weather gets cold. So I think with that, perhaps the worst of their soap opera of 2017 is over, but I say that very, very carefully.
Even good teams, Neil, have something they need to work around. In other words, let's work around our deficiency by doing this. You can mask certain things. What are the Steelers? What do they work around?
Well, I think right now, surprisingly, it's Ben Roethlisberger. If you look at it offensively, in games that they have had probably the most overall success. I don't necessarily mean just winning the game, but the manner in which they've won the game. When all things have been going, they've run the ball very well. We've talked about it in this spot before, too, dating back to last year when they went on a 10-game winning streak that painfully ended the second the Le'Veon Bell went down. It really just kind of points out to me the value of the Steelers' running game right now, their offensive line, and Le'Veon Bell. And more than anything, we're just not seeing very good play from Roethlisberger. And each week I'm kind of thinking, all right, well, he's going to snap out of it this week. Or he should be able to, you know, they got good matchups with this. They should be able to throw the ball a bunch and do really well. But the more he's had to throw, the worse their offense has done. And that's not necessarily been the case all the time. But this week is the line of demarcation. If Roethlisberger can't torch the Colts like he has over the last three times that they've played him, I would definitely say that really, you know, moving forward, this is Le'Veon Bell from here on out. It's really not Ben Roethlisberger anymore.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, by the way, was at the Penn State-Michigan State game Saturday. He was the honorary captain of the game for Michigan State. It sounds like Martavis Bryant is going to get off the practice squad, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be involved in the game plan this week.
Yeah, he kind of figured that was going to be the case. I felt, you know, sitting him down for a week and kind of showing him that, you know, you need to be there to support your teammates. You still need to work if you want to get a spot back. Was probably the right message to send him. And I am appreciative of the fact that he seems to have, you know, received that message and is moving on. Or at the very least, you know, somebody took away all of his social media accounts. I'm not sure which. But for him, it's really more a situation now where he needs to, you know, just kind of calmly and patiently wait for his opportunity. And he's going to get it. You can't get away with throwing the ball that often to Antonio Brown and not to anybody else. You know, there needs to be, I think, an uptick in, targeting other receivers. And Bryant has the opportunity to be that guy, to be, I think, probably the first receiver outside of Juju probably to have more than like six targets in a game. He can do that this week. That I think that's the challenge they're giving him. And I think Roethlisberger will try to get him the ball. He's a talented player. They just kind of haven't really connected on anything deep yet. That's really why we haven't seen an impact from Bryant. His opportunities have been kind of sparse, but they haven't been very good opportunities either. So I think now is the time they can kind of get back on the same page and work toward, you know, refining that chemistry that they used to have.
And you mentioned Juju. Juju Smith-Schuster got his driver's license this week. Another monumental moment in Steeler history.
You know, it reminded me of back in my writing glory days. I was at a small daily newspaper in northeastern Iowa, and there was an advertorial that was put out by the family of one of the local softball players that she just got her driver's license. And my editor made me put it on the front of the sports page. And I didn't work there for a whole lot longer, but the amount of attention that he's generating for these just childish kind of, you know, goofy things is really amazing. It really just kind of shows in a certain way how much negativity there is surrounding the NFL right now. That he's having some success on the field. He's not dominating by any stretch of the imagination. It's just the love that he's getting from everybody. It's really just kind of like, wow, you know what? Maybe this is the breath of fresh air that the sport and Pittsburgh in general really needs. You know, he's fun. He's happy. He's positive. He's making plays on the field. Not a whole lot to not like about him right now. And now he can drive. I hope he's careful.
Yeah, 424 yards receiving this year, 4 touchdowns. What the heck? That's pretty good. I mean, that's good second round production from a guy who's going to get better.
Guy who's 20 years old. Keep that in mind too. He's a full grown man. I've talked about it in the show before, and he's only going to get better. He's got a ways to go yet in that regard. His best days are definitely ahead of him, but he's got the makeup right now that he can contribute. And certainly, the Steelers absolutely need a better alternative. Receiving option, and maybe that is Juju. Maybe both Juju and Bryant can get on the field at the same time. The world doesn't explode when that happens. Maybe they both can produce. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be one or the other. Right. Maybe they can both do stuff to help the offense. I don't know. It's a crazy thought in Pittsburgh.
My goodness, I think you've gone mad, Neil. You've gone mad. Defensively, when you defense Indianapolis. I mean, is it just make sure you take Frank Gore out of it and then you contain Jacoby Brissett in terms of his ability to run, and that's really the game plan?
Yeah, I really don't think it's one of the least dynamic offenses in the NFL. I had the misfortune of watching their game against Houston this weekend. Oh, my gosh. They're both just struggling franchises. With Indianapolis, what's been interesting about them over the years, it's almost like their plan was to come up with a personnel package that the Pittsburgh Steelers can utterly thrash on a weekly basis. I mean, the numbers that Antonio Brown puts up against Indianapolis and the times they've played are legendary. He's averaging over 100 yards per game. He averages like 17 yards a punt return. He's got 8 touchdowns in 4 games or something like that. It's simply because the Indianapolis Colts do not have any athleticism in their secondary. They're trying to add to it. They drafted one this year. He's not playing particularly well, and it doesn't really seem like they have any kind of difference maker on the defensive side of the ball. And against Pittsburgh, you know, their interior offensive line is worse than their tackles are, and that says a lot. And Pittsburgh's strength is in the middle of their defensive line, so they can control the game at will, basically. I mean, they really just, it's a horrible matchup for the Colts, and I'm not incredibly sold on the Steelers offense just yet, but I think they're going to produce that 30 point range again.
What do you think about the overall play in the league? How interesting to you is the league? I mean, you have to cover it, but I mean, how, you know, as somebody who sits there and watches a lot of it, because you do have to, is it interesting football?
In some cases it is. You definitely see some, you know, I think people probably make more out about the overall state of the NFL from a few hand-selected games. If you're forced to watch the Giants at great length this season, you probably think the entire NFL sucks because you've never watched a good football game.
Right.
The Broncos are now getting to that point, as surprising as that is. You can have active conversations of who actually right now has the worst trio of quarterbacks, not even one quarterback, the worst set of three of them, because you've seen all of them between like San Francisco, Cleveland, Houston, Denver. There are a lot of teams that are really bad, but you know, I think there's enough talent at the top of the league that's going to keep it very interesting. It's just, you know, nobody really came out of the gates firing right away. Nobody, you know, I guess Kansas City kind of did, but we've seen what's happened to them now. This half of the season, I really think it's going to be about more consistency than anything else. You're getting, you know, good effort out of Pittsburgh. I think they're one of the top teams in the league, but we haven't seen them play more than maybe one or two great games, what we think they're capable of doing. I don't think they've quite hit their stride yet. So you're kind of thinking that's a team that could look really impressive by week 14 or 15 and you know, basically have everyone's ear in terms of, you know, the obvious Super Bowl pick. Philadelphia, I think, is playing very well. That's
yes.
a fun team to watch. They're
mm-hmm.
probably the best overall. That could be your Super Bowl matchup. But you look at, like, the Vikings, for example. That's a team that they've played one game and kind of a half of a game with their starting quarterback. They're probably going to have to change out to Teddy Bridgewater here eventually. You're not sure what kind of level he's going to be able to play at. But the Vikings are 6-2, and they're a pretty impressive 6-2 with Case Keenum as their quarterback. You know,
right.
Carson Wentz is obviously better than Case Keenum, and there's one game difference between Philadelphia and Minnesota. How high is Minnesota's ceiling when they get, you know, a better play out of a quarterback? And Keenum's played very well. You know, don't knock him at all, but Bridgewater's probably a better player. How much more offense can they generate behind that defense if they can, you know, improve that that quarterback position? I think there's a lot of intrigue that's out there. It's just you kind of get masked by, you know, a lot of, you know, pretty sloppy play from a lot of teams, kind of weird situations that they get put into. But this is kind of the year of the minus quarterback. You know, there are a lot of bad quarterbacks that are put into situations now that, you know, the team really can't get out of. You know, if Bill O'Brien actively wants Tom Savage to start for him, I think something's wrong with Bill O'Brien. I mean, clearly, that's not a player that you want to bank on long-term, but they don't have a whole lot of great options except for Mr. Kaepernick, but obviously nobody can hire him. So their season's in trouble. I think that kind of epitomizes the bottom half of the league right now. A lot of teams that aren't playing well because they don't have stability at the quarterback position.
Well, you mentioned Kaepernick, and I'll bring it up here. This is not a commentary here on whether anything's justified or not, but my point is that it seems like when something good happens for the league, something else gets in the way. Houston and Seattle, that was a terrific game. Yet, what was the story after the game? The story was not about how terrific the game was. It was how upset the Houston players were. I mean, how much are they fighting right now, getting in their own way, and they can't seem to get out of their own way?
Just so much of it. There's so much of it. And the main thing with the NFL, and this is what bugged me about it since Goodell kind of, you know, forced the concussion issue to the front of their agenda for the first time, back probably 2010 this would have been. It's the shroud of secrecy that they always operate in. It's the least transparent pro sport. They
right.
do such a bad job communicating with fans to try to explain things of what they're doing. And case in point, I'm glad you asked that question. Case in point, how does Mike Evans get suspended and AJ Green does not?
Right.
How in what world does that make any sense at all? If you can't communicate to people why one example of fighting within a game gets suspended and the other one doesn't.
Right.
If you can't provide to the public a good answer as to why that is, or at least try to explain it away, the NHL does that all the time. The NHL, mm-hmm. all they talk about is why a player was or was not suspended.
That's right.
They're communicating, though. In the NFL, there's so much of that. It's created so much mistrust. That's why we're in the position that we're in. From a fan perspective, I just think that it's really hard to believe their intentions are good. They're whole. I mean, really, I can't think of a reason why AJ Green would not be suspended for a game. That was far more savage mm-hmm. than what Evans did. In my opinion, both of them should have been suspended for it, simply because the league is trying to crack down on this kind of thing, and it makes them look really bad. You can't just get into an all-out brawl in the middle of the game. It's supposed to be a game of controlled rage, not out in the street fighting with a guy that just talked to your girlfriend. That's what it looked like more to me in both of those situations than anything else. You can't have that kind of thing, but to suspend one and not the other, there's something obviously that drove them to do it, and they'll never talk about what that was. That kind of thing really bugs me. They do it all the time. It's like a weekly thing now.
Yeah, there's another part, too, and I'll make this the last part here. Paul Tagliabue, for all the faults that people may have about him as a commissioner, whether she'd be in the Hall of Fame or not, not here to argue that, but he always had a philosophy. The philosophy was, okay, let's take care of it, let's get rid of it, let's go to the next thing, let's put it in the rearview mirror. Would it behoove the NFL to, A, be open and communicate about items, but also have the ability to take care of it and get rid of it as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I think you can do both. I mean, plain and simple, yeah. You have to explain these kinds of things. And they just they want to think, if they don't say anything about it, it eventually will go away. And yes, there's some truth to that. People will move on to the next thing. I understand that. But there have been so many instances in which it's gotten worse because they didn't say anything about it right away. If they would have tackled the whole national anthem issue at the start of all of this,
yep.
I think we'd have far less of a problem. Instead, you have the players union asking for mediation on how to deal with the issue. Maybe if you thought in the off season, it might be a good idea. If we don't really like this kneeling thing, maybe we should come up with something to say that you can't kneel anymore. Maybe we should do that. But no, it seems like they don't want to take that step, because then they're forced to acknowledge the fact that they didn't have a rule on this to begin with. How do you not have a rule on proper etiquette during the national anthem? If you feel the issue is so big now right. that players can't kneel down, right. why didn't you do something about this before?
Because
so many instances of it.
Right, because, I'll add to your point. For the NFL, why don't you have a rule for it? Because it's obviously part of your presentation of the game. Right,
yep.
since it's part of your presentation of the game, don't you have a rule surrounding it?
And you know what? I bet there's room right next to the rule about what socks you can wear.
Oh,
you know?
All the time. How many times have you heard about sock length being fined in the NFL?
Yeah.
All the time.
To be honest, I don't have a problem with that. If they right. want to have a uniform standard, I don't have an issue with that. I understand the no-fun league and all that, but you have to be able to regulate those kinds of things.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to get insane. I'm not going to use the inmates can't run the prison comment, but that's really what it is. You can't just let the players kind of decide everything that they want to do. You want to keep things uniform to a certain extent. You don't have to be that rigid with it, but all you needed to do was just say players are required to stand during the national anthem if that's what you wanted to do.
Neil Coulong joining us from USA Today. We'll come back second hour of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.